Mary, that is the Blessed Virgin Mary, is an essential part of our holy faith. And she should be an essential part of our spiritual life. Every grace, the theologians and the saints and the fathers of the church tell us, every grace that we have received or ever will receive passes first through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that includes also the many graces that we have received in the past and will receive in the future through the source of all graces, which is God Himself in the Holy Eucharist. All of those graces will pass from Jesus through Mary to you. Have you ever thought of it? Without Mary, there would be absolutely no Holy Eucharist. From all eternity, the second person of the Blessed Trinity exists. He was a divine person, not created, and he will never end, but he had no body. He had no blood. And he had no human soul. So when Gabriel came on that one day that was marked from all eternity, came into the holy home of Nazareth and said, "Hail, full of grace," he asked on behalf of God, "Wilt thou give God a body?" And then it says, all of heaven waited for just a moment for this answer. For everything in our redemption depended upon her yes or her no. Fiat mihi. Be it done unto me according to thy word. And the Holy Ghost descends, and the Father overshadows, and the second person of the Blessed Trinity receives a body and blood and a human soul. Unless that had happened, and our Lord had flesh and blood, there would be no Holy Eucharist. For in the Holy Sacrament is contained the same body, blood, soul, and divinity that was incarnate on that day in that holy home. Without Mary, there is no Holy Eucharist. Without Mary, in a sense, you can say, there is no Mass. That is how important Our Lady is in our life. Many people, I think, they don't really say this outwardly, but I think it's something inwardly that many people might feel, that if they give too much honor to Our Lady, they feel like they're taking away from the Holy Eucharist when they're here at church. But the two really go together. Where would you always find, Blessed Peter Julian Aimard said, where would you find the child Jesus but in the arms of Mary? Those two are always together. And so it is now, the Eucharist and the Blessed Mother go together. Blessed Peter says, "Our Lord would be much pained if we did not greatly honor Mary, because she is His mother. Our Lord owes everything to her in the order of His incarnation, His human nature. It is by the flesh that she gave Him that He has so glorified His Father, that He has redeemed us, that He continues to nourish and to save the world by the Blessed Sacrament. It is by the flesh that she gave Him that all of this continues even to this day. Without Mary, there is no Blessed Sacrament. And without Mary, there would not be all the graces that flow from our holy altar here at St. Hugh's on the corner of 12th and Hayes. But through Mary, all the graces that we receive come to us. And so if we wish to honor our Eucharistic King better, then we should never leave out the Blessed Virgin Mary. After our Lord's ascension into heaven, Christ remained upon earth in his Eucharistic presence. St. Luke tells us that Mary lived and prayed in the cenacle, and that is where St. John offered his Mass every day for the Blessed Virgin Mary. That is where the Blessed Sacrament, God himself, was kept in a tabernacle in that room. And that is where, for 20 years, Our Lady lived in company with her Son in the Holy Eucharist. She conversed with him in the Holy Eucharist day in and day out, all day long and all night long, just as if he were still in his bodily form. It made no difference to her. That is the same God that she saw in bodily form. And she knew it with all of his powers, with all of his knowledge, with all of his love, and with all of his mercy. And she lived there for 20 years in company with the holy angels. And what virtues she learned to practice. She was already perfect, but her perfection grew. And it was because of all of her conversations with Christ in the tabernacle, in the upper room, the cenacle. They say that you always become like those that you sort of hang out with. They sort of rub off on you in little ways sometimes and in big ways. Well, Mary spent her whole life with God himself, and it rubbed off on her. She learned all of his virtues and learned them in perfection by spending that time with the Holy Eucharist. She learned to practice modesty because she knew that she was in the presence of the holy angels at all times, who with her were adoring her divine Son. She learned to practice reverence in the sight of God, for she knew, though she could not see with her bodily eyes the body and blood of Christ, she knew with the eyes of faith that Christ, beneath the veils of the Eucharist, sees every one of us, hears our every whisper, knows our every thought that we are thinking now. And so Mary grew in virtue during all of those years in the cenacle. Blessed Julian Aimard said, Mary's virtues during her sojourn in the cenacle reached their highest perfection, a perfection almost limitless, and they were surpassed only by those of her divine Son. Now, do you know a way to make your visits to the Blessed Sacrament more fruitful? Do you know how to have these visits and perform them so that they don't become a bore for you? We're human. Sometimes we do get bored with prayer. Let's just admit the fact. How do we make it more interesting? All the mysteries of Our Lady's life are reenacted in the cenacle. That is, here, on our altar. When you come to kneel before the Blessed Sacrament before Mass, were you to meditate on the mystery of Bethlehem and Christ's birth that first Christmas night, well then, you must meditate upon that mystery in the light of the Holy Eucharist. For just as Christ was born in Bethlehem so many thousands of years ago, so every Mass said on this altar, Christ is born Eucharistically. Or we think of the Holy Family's flight into Egypt and how our Lord and our Lady were forced to live among pagans, strangers, people that did not know them. Live that, meditate that in the Eucharistic light. And all you have to do is realize where this chapel is, in the neighborhood that it is in. We're in the midst of pagans, people that walk by our church door every day and don't even know it, but their Creator lives here. And they walk on by. Or we think of our Lord's hidden life at Nazareth and how Our Lady adored the private prayers and the hard work that our Lord did there. But our Lord works even harder in the Holy Eucharist, sacrificing, praying for souls. We should, whenever we make a visit, consider all the gospel mysteries in the light of the Holy Eucharist and reflect on Mary's role in each of them. This is the means, I think, of growing in love of the Blessed Sacrament. But how about for your Holy Communions? I wonder how many of us really, and I mean really, prepare for our Holy Communions. Are you the type that comes into church early and wants to pray the rosary as your preparation? Or are you the type that gets here in the last moment and then you're hurrying down to get the children to the bathroom and all the rest of it, and you come up and scarcely have time for a Hail Mary? Blessed Peter Julian Amard suggests a few things to prepare yourself for Holy Communion. He says, first, practice the little virtues of Our Lady. Start with the smallest, and this will make you grow to resemble Our Lady and make you to live in union with the Holy Eucharist. Practice the little virtues of Our Lady. Secondly, daily offer a sacrifice in preparation for your communion. They say that we are to foresee those things that will cost us, that will sort of sting us and hurt us. Some of these sacrifices can be planned in advance. We might work with someone that gets on our nerves. Resolve that morning, in preparation for communion, to be kind to that person. Or to say a little prayer, an extra prayer during the day, maybe an extra decade of the rosary. Our Lady will be pleased with all of this and will give it to her Son. And if you can foresee no particular cross coming that day, then be ready to accept whatever God may send you. God loves to surprise you. That's how one who loves treats the one he loves. The husband loves to come home with flowers, perhaps, after a long day of work, and surprise the wife with them. God is the lover, and we are the loved. And He surprises us with crosses, not as a punishment, but as a means to grow in perfection, and in virtue, and in love. Hold thyself in readiness, we are told. And if we find that we are ready, we offer that sacrifice to God, He will look at us as He looked at Job. Remember that conversation after Job had remained so patient? And our Lord speaks to the devil. He tells the devil, "Hast thou seen my servant Job?" He said it as a proud father who had just witnessed his son conquer himself. "Hast thou seen my servant Job? What a man he is." So, let us honor Our Lady by a daily sacrifice. Go to our Lord through her. shelter ourselves behind her and take refuge under her mantle and clothe ourselves in her virtues. And right before we go to the communion rail, let us then offer up to Jesus all of Our Lady's actions and merits and virtues. And if we do this, we have made a very good preparation for Holy Communion. And then I close with this. Again, Peter Julian Aimard. He says, place yourself, when you're sitting before the tabernacle, place yourself under Mary's direction. Think her thoughts. Speak her words of love. Imitate her manners. Perform her actions. Honor in Mary, at the foot of the tabernacle, all the mysteries of her whole life. And remember that in the cenacle, for those 20 long years, Mary knelt before her Eucharistic Son, just as you and I do 2,000 years later. Kneel with Our Lady at your side. Pray with her, and in so doing, you will come to love Our Lady, and to love our Eucharistic Lord more and more. Without Mary, there's no Eucharist. Without Mary's help, the Eucharist will do us little good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.